The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are A.J. Taylor with KIOW Forest City and Joe Benedict with Keokuk Daily Gate City. A.J., can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
All right, sir. Let's talk about the conviction, if you will, of the Republican candidate for president here. Your thoughts on this, and what do you believe should be done from this point forward?
Well, let me answer the last question first. What can be done about it is just exactly what a person that's in the court system wants to do or has to do, and that is whatever the appeal process is. And I'm sure that's going to happen. That's been talked about before and since the conviction. I think the decision is another example of the leftists, activists, prosecutors, weaponizing the judicial system, carrying out their political vendettas. I expect the case to be overturned on appeal. Let's go now to Joe.
The president's set to issue an executive order about the border. Do you know what might be in that, and what's your opinion of it?
I don't know, but let me tell you what I speculate. I speculate it's going to follow the pattern that was laid out in the Lankford-Murray Sinema compromise of, what, 3-4 months ago? And he's going to be able to maybe not take that whole thing and make an executive order, but parts of it. And then he's going to say, I'm going to do by executive order what the Congress wouldn't do, and he's probably going to blame the Republicans for not doing it. But remember, we had a vote 2 weeks ago, and on the same subject, in other words, the very same vote, and 7 Democrats then voted against it. And so it wasn't just a Republican defeating it the second time. Anyway, I think he's not going to be able to make a very strong point that he wants to make, because I think people would say, and I would say, if he can do it by executive order, why hasn't he done it months ago, even before we talked about a bipartisan compromise? And then you know why he's doing it. Because as I just learned in my 12 county visits last week when the Senate wasn't in session, he knows that the border and the cost of living is the important issues of this campaign. And he would want people to think going into his reelection that he's going to take a strong stand against the border issues. But he's doing nothing, even if this agenda comes out the way that I am suggesting it would. Let's go back to AJ.
Having a lot of rain here in the state of Iowa right now, some places are turning into lakes. And the farm bill here, sir, is of a major concern. Is this going to address what we're looking at right now with regards to crop loss? What is the situation? What has been put into that bill now to make it work?
Well, first of all, for this crop season, if we passed a new 5-year farm bill yesterday, it wouldn't apply for this year's crop bill. So you got to look at 2018. And under normal circumstances, what you're saying to help farmers is usually covered by crop insurance. And 95% of the farmers have crop insurance under the 2018 law. Now, in addition to that, but on a very ad hoc basis or sporadic basis, sometimes things are bad enough in agriculture that we may pass an ad hoc disaster bill like we did for the derecho. I don't anticipate that happening just because of cropland being flooded out, because that's what's covered by crop insurance. Let's go to Joe.
You've been critical of how the Pentagon couldn't pass an audit Are you supporting Senator Wicker's $55 billion proposal for defense spending?
Well, that's a goal that he has set. It's going to the actual figure for next year is going to be set by the Appropriations Committee, and that we're just in the process of doing that. But on a 50,000 foot level answer to your question, I believe that we have not put a high enough priority on the defense expenditures. I think we're falling way behind, and I think peace is in jeopardy, because I think a strong national defense is the best instrument to preserve peace from two standpoints. One, our potential enemies may be more fearful of us if we're prepared, and secondly, our allies will have credibility in our effort to move forward under our treaty obligations, like with NATO, with Japan, with South Korea, with Philippines. Maybe that's not all the places we have treaty obligations, but a weakened defense is encouraging our enemies to take chances that maybe they wouldn't otherwise take. So I think that Wicker is doing us all a favor by upping the debate on strengthening our military. AJ?
There are a number of offices in Washington that are empty right now because you have people that are working from home in the federal government. And there have been people now who are seeing their services actually being slowed down, if not coming to an absolute stop, when it comes to getting benefits, applying for things of this nature. Is there any push in the Senate right now to get some of these employees back to work in the federal office buildings that the taxpayers are paying for?
There's bills to do it, but I think any chances of those bills passing with Schumer in the United States Senate and going up against the government unions is not going to happen. But I'll assure you, I would vote for them, and I would just guess that probably at least 50% of the federal employees are working from home. And it's a sad commentary, particularly one that's really sad that happened here during the month of May. The Social Security director gave a half a day on Friday. Well, maybe it was all day Fridays. I forget which. But whether all day Friday or half day Friday, shut down the Social Security offices. We're going to honor public service. Well, public service is the government doing what it's supposed to do. Its obligations to be service to the American people, and you can't serve the American people if the offices are closed. Joe, this you have the last question.
All right. Last month, you urged action on five bills that seek to lower prescription drug prices. Are there any movement on any of those?
The only movement is what's happened in the last 2 years compared to what didn't happen the first 3 years that Wyden and I started working on making more transparent the influence of the pharmacy benefit managers on the price of drugs, rebates, and formularies. Now we have four bills, and I'm surprised that we haven't moved already, because a year ago, well, maybe right now it's 11 months ago, Schumer had several of us that are interested in this issue come to his office. He was indicating he wanted to move legislation, reducing drug prices by bringing more transparency to the secrecy of pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs, we call it for short. And I have had no results of that meeting. And I thought the meeting was very, very positive. In the meantime, we've had several speeches, several committee actions to move forward, and it just hasn't moved. And I'm sorry to tell you that it wasn't even on the list it wasn't even on the list of 17 bills he put out about a month ago that he wanted to get done before the end of the year. Now, I want to end by saying this. There's lots of bipartisan backing behind these measures. Schumer ought to listen to the bipartisan majority of the Senate, because I think there's a figure I saw, like 66 different members of Congress, 68, my staff tells me, that have signed up for these various pieces of legislation. So it would have plenty of votes to get through the United States Senate if you brought it up. Thank you both, Joe and AJ, for participating, and we hope you'll be back with us again in the future. Goodbye.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you, AJ and Joe, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.